A reading from the Book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly, two men, dressed in white, stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's 2020. Summer has come and people are looking forward to their holidays. The virus is still at large, and despite things opening up, there's so much uncertainty around us. Nobody knows how things are going to pan out. The economy is struggling to bounce back. There are some positive signs, but large swathes of business across the business world have been hit so hard, and so many of us face an uncertain future. Hundreds are applying for jobs that used to attract maybe five. People talk of a crisis of mental health, and there's concern about a second wave. And everyone's tired of limiting themselves in so many ways, tired of not seeing their friends face to face, tired of working from home. It's a strange time in Reigate, in London, all over the world. But one thing stands out. One thing catches your attention. You've heard that a new mission agency has come to Reigate. Over 500 Christians, young and not so young, with a sizable budget from their own resources, all committed to Christ, all committed to listening to the Spirit and to responding to whatever he asks them, trusting that the Father will provide for their daily needs and give them what they need to display the kingdom of God. And this 500-strong mission agency is putting its energy into one main thing: being and making disciples of Jesus, people who have given their allegiance to Christ, whose identities have been reshaped by the cross and resurrection, and whose lives are vibrant, colourful and fragrant examples of what life could be when forgiveness has taken root and when pasts have been left behind. To be honest, it's a wild group of people, ordinary but extraordinary, and you hear how they've spread out over the area, how they've moved into every neighbourhood. Some live close to the centre of town, but others live just over the hill in nearby estates and streets, little outposts of missional energy. Some with mortgages, others renting, some planning to stay for years, others open to God taking them further afield. The world has been turned upside down by the pandemic, and there is uncertainty and fear all around, but not in this mission agency. It's a remarkable group, a remarkable army, involved in the community in so many ways: in business, government, social services, culture, retail, in sport and leisure, health and in education. They see their whole lives as vehicles for their mission, and they've taken up jobs in every sector of business and social provision. Others are retired, but fully committed. They're all involved in every aspect of life. They're all kinds of people, ordinary but filled with a breath and a life that comes from God, the Spirit of God. And they have resources, enormous resources when you think about it. Ideas and energy and time, money and houses and land, creativity and passion and love. And they're alive with God, generous and happy. And in the hands of God, their natural gifts are maximized and multiplied again and again. It's an unsettling time, but you hear about this mission agency, all energized and equipped and ready for mission, watching for people to connect with, alert and responsive. And it's evident that these people have been filled with confidence to speak out, telling wonders, knowing what they believe and why, trusting their story and sharing their story again and again. They're open about themselves, fearless. Many are becoming disciples. They're alive to the God of the future, and they're ready to engage with every person, every age group, every background, every child, every old person, everyone, in order to influence them and to see them change direction. Everyone's invited. They are an army of ambassadors, of messengers, of witnesses, walking adverts for their message, leaking the good news wherever they go, on the bus or in the supermarket, in old people's homes, in the garage, in the factory, at the office, building sites, marketplaces, coffee shops and cafes. And you notice that they've been filled with love for the poor and the difficult and the broken, and filled with compassion and anger about poverty and abuse and neglect. And you see them offering themselves to get involved and make things change, prioritizing mission to the estates and around the edges, areas of need and brokenness. They don't care if people notice or not. They just want to be Jesus's hands and feet. Everything is uncertain right now, except for this mission agency expressing itself in amazing ways. And you see them meeting in small groups, meeting in homes, meeting in on Zoom, encouraging each other, living life together, motivating each other for mission, holding each other to account, gathering around simple elements of bread and wine, gathering around tables, praying together and singing and laughing and weeping, carrying each other's burdens, being reminded of their core task and being given ways of accessing the power to carry it all out, sharing the same words, the same passages of scripture, the same belief. You see them loving one another, committed week in, week out to their mission, committed week in, week out to making sure that everyone is involved and resourced and equipped. Some have families and their children are a key part of their mission. But regardless, everyone wants to see families changed and marriages flourish, parents thriving. They've placed children and young people at the core of their vision, the next generation that they want to pass their passion on to. Everything is uncertain right now, except for this mission agency. You notice them setting apart and growing leaders, people to shape and hold together and encourage and organize, people to make sure that everyone stays on track and doesn't get left behind, people gifted with love and faith and hope. And you see that they have entrepreneurial ambition, keen to set up businesses and social projects and community activities that make a difference and change lives, all resourced with people dedicated to the mission, energized by their goal to make disciples and to be a sign of the kingdom, as they call it. And you've noticed that they have been invited to play a role by the council and by local leaders sometimes to find solutions for hard problems, problems around family life and loneliness and addiction, issues around fostering and mental health, bereavement and loss. And as you look, you notice that they don't work alone. They're connected to hundreds of others locally and from further afield, all trying to create a culture of discipleship in the land once more. But they see themselves here for the sake of others, giving themselves away again and again. Freely they have received, freely they give. They want others to grow, and they give themselves away happily in order to see others more noticed than they are. And this agency is led in an interesting way, led by respect for one another, submitting, it seems, to each other in prayer and reflection and common discernment. From the outside, this remarkable mission agency seems to be led by a strong and invisible force, whom the missionaries call the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, letting him direct them and lead them and disciple them and discipline them, enabling them to take risks and to stretch out, to dream dreams, decentralized, mobilized, alive. So this wonderful, vibrant, brave, ambitious mission agency has come to Reigate, and it's 2020. They've arrived ready, willing to risk it all, knowing that Reigate, for all its comfortable streets, green spaces and smart shops, was only a place that they'd be passing through for a moment of their life story before eternity takes over. They hold to it all very lightly. They're not caught up in a crazy pace of life like so many of their neighbours seem trapped in. It's 2020 and it's summertime, and you hear about this mission agency, a community of over 500 people, making connections, building relationships, sharing faith, loving neighbours, praying for people, leaking the gospel, organising events, going to where the people are at, reaching out to the least, the last and the lost. Everyone's uncertain right now except for them. It seems incredible, and the town is being changed by them, one person at a time. Perhaps London too, just the other side of the M25. And even other places, a plane flight away, will be next. We'll wait and see. Do you understand? This is a story about ourselves. Except that it isn't completely. It's a story about another kind of church, different from the one that we are currently right now. It's a story of a group of people who think of themselves every day as a mission agency, sent and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be God's ambassadors here in Reigate, where God happens to have placed us, like the first disciples in the story we read today. The truth is that this is still a dream. It's not a real story. It's in my imagination. It's a vision. But what would it take to change this vision, this picture, from a fiction into a reality? Perhaps not much, just a simple change. All it needs is a change in the way that each and every one of the 500 or 600 members of our church see ourselves. A change from seeing ourselves as members to seeing ourselves as disciples, from seeing ourselves as recipients of ministry into being participants of ministry, from being lay people into being priests, from being consumers into being providers, from being guests into being hosts, from being believers into being missionaries, disciple makers, church planters, Spirit-filled, gospel-driven, mission-oriented, whole-life disciples bearing fruit again and again. I say this is a simple change, but it's the hardest change of all. It's the change from coming to Jesus for something to receive into being someone who submits to his kingdom rule over every bit of our lives, a whole-life disciple. It means coming to him as someone who has put off the old self and daily steps into a new identity, commissioned for a new task. The rich young man, we remember, went away. He had a house in a nice part of town. Nine of the lepers, we recall, never came back. They had got all they wanted. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be God's mission agency in Reigate. And this summer, the world is stressed out. Everyone is uncertain. We are here for a reason. This is our time. This is who we are. This is our identity, our purpose. And we ought to repent of being anything else. This idea of being a mission agency must become a reality, or God will choose another group of people to bring salvation to people in this town and region instead of us. We have a choice about it. The disciples of Jesus in this story were given many things. They had been with Jesus for over 1,000 days. They'd been taught by him in person. They had witnessed his actions and his healings firsthand. They had been modeled a new way of how to live life to the full, right in front of their eyes. They had been there for his suffering and actually seen his resurrection, touched his side and eaten food with him, alive. And then they had the teaching of the kingdom downloaded personally from the king himself. And yet they still lacked this one thing, this one gift, the promised breath of God, the Spirit Jesus had mentioned, the power to turn them from a group of nobodies into a mission agency that would change the world. Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and then the end of the earth. This is the gift we need. Like dry sponges waiting to be filled, we need to be baptized, plunged into the water of the Holy Spirit and filled to overflowing. None of our dreams will come off if we do it in our own power. We need him, the Spirit. Oh, how the world needs a savior, needs forgiveness, hope, change and renewal. Oh, how the world would be blessed if it bowed the knee to Jesus, the King, the kind and good King that gives away his life for everyone, no matter how ruined or empty, depraved or worthless. The good news is that the King of the Kingdom has been revealed, and we have the message in us. But oh, how we need power, his dynamism to be his witnesses, his martyrs to be his voice, his mission agency as we give ourselves away like he did. Without him, we are empty, just good words and good deeds, falling into dry land, but bearing no fruit. The world doesn't need a church to belong to or a centre to come to. It needs a saviour to rescue it and its true king to worship. The story tells us that the breath of God, the Spirit of God, is given to us to enable us to be this salvation community, this kingdom family. So reflecting on this passage all week, it's incredibly powerful to me that this church was launched in this way. There was no certainty that it would turn out the way that God wanted it, no guarantee. It's remarkable that this misfit group of ordinary people would be able to become a world-changing community. There are so many human and spiritual forces to overcome, but God's crazy, radical, and even comical plan was to have a church, a community of people gathered around Jesus, a people who knew themselves to be called by God, set apart, called out, people having given their complete allegiance to Jesus as their king. There was no guarantee, there was no certainty, but God took the risk. He loved the world so much, he sent his son Jesus and gave him away and let him go. And then Jesus loved us all so much that he willingly became the sacrifice that a lamb led out to die. And he gave himself away and let himself go. There were no guarantees. There was only uncertainty. But God raised him from the dead and lifted him on high and appointed him to be king. And this Jesus from his throne sends his spirit, his breath, out into the world and blows open the hearts of men and women in an upper room and blows open the doors of the house and pushes them out and blows open their mouths so that they can't help but declare the goodness of God. And even then, there was no guarantee that it would all work. But that day, 2,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. But this is the power of God, the risky, self-emptying power of God that we are invited to be filled with every day. Do we want that? Do we really want the Spirit in us? Not for ourselves, but for others, so that we can give ourselves away and share the good news in powerful and meaningful ways. Because that's his plan, to find men and women, children and young people, older men and older women who think their days are done, and to fill them up and speak through them and powerfully change the world through them. There's no certainty in the world right now, no guarantees. But there is this plan God has to plant little mission agencies in every street and town and nation. And by all counts, he hasn't changed his mind. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. John baptized in water, but in a few days you'll be baptized and immersed in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to them, you'll receive power when the Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, in Reigate and across the Surrey Hills, in the southeast and even to the ends of the earth. May God's will be done in us, ordinary as we are, in Reigate and through us to bless the region, the city and the world. Everyone's invited. Everyone.